To go ahead and begin, and we'll start this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, in Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5 for our lesson this morning, and we'll take and finish out this chapter this morning. I think we made it down through verse number 15 last Sunday, and of course there's only just a few Sundays remaining in this month, and then we'll begin a brand new series of lessons. And as soon as those books come in, we'll give those to you as well. But good to see you. Hope you've had a good week this past week. And look forward to this new week the Lord has in store for us this morning. Let's do pray as always. We'll begin with a word of prayer. And then we'll get into our lesson for this morning and some important facts. You'll find that our lesson is over some very familiar scriptures. And but we'll take a good look at those this morning as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you, and Lord, we glorify your name this morning, and Lord, we're very blessed to have this time that we have as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come together. We pray for your blessings upon our day. We pray for your blessings upon this place this morning. We pray for our lesson time that we have, for your blessings now. And then, Lord, in our service this morning, we do ask for your blessings upon all that is said and done. We do pray for Brother Richardson again today, for your blessings upon his life, for your power to be, his life to be filled with your power so the message is delivered. And then, Lord, help us to, be good students and good listeners and have an open mind and open heart to all that is said and done. And, Lord, may we absorb what you have for us today. And, Lord, we know that you have something for us. And, Lord, it's just up to us to retrieve what you have for us. And, Lord, help us to grow, help us to mature, help us to become more like you today. And we ask for your help in just that. We do pray, Lord, for many in our church who have prayer requests, maybe even some in our church that are actually even sick or maybe in physical need. We do pray for healing for those in the prayer request that have been mentioned. We ask for your will to be done in the life of those that are present this morning. We do pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones. And, Lord, I don't know of a greater need in this world than those that are lost that need to be saved. And we do pray for the lost this morning. We pray that you would convict them. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in their life to show them their need of salvation. And Lord, I pray that they would see their need of a Savior, and I pray that they would trust you before it's eternally too late. We also, Lord, want to mention our missionaries that we support. We do pray for them today, for your blessings upon them, their families, their needs. I pray that you help supply those, and Lord, that you would give them fruit for their labors this morning as well. We do pray for our nation this morning. Lord, we are in such a great need of revival, a spiritual awakening. And Lord, I pray that you would send revival once again to our land. We pray now that you bless as we study for the next few moments. Help us to learn. Help us to be good Bible students. Help us to grow. And help us to, Lord, just retain what we learn. And Lord, may we put it to practice even this very next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to switch gears here just a little bit in our lesson. You'll find that in Galatians chapter 5, we were able to make it down through verse 15 last Sunday, so we're going to pick up in verse number 16. And before we read our first verse, let me just lay a little bit of a foundation here. For many weeks now, we in our Sunday school lesson, we have looked at Paul instructing believers who have strayed away from the truth. And that is that a person is justified or saved and justified in the eyes of God by faith in Jesus Christ. They believed that at one point. And then if you remember, every week we've mentioned this. But then behind that came some false teachers teaching and preaching that it was the law that saved a person. So Paul has been debating that all the way up to this point, reassuring them that it's not the law that saves anybody. The law never has saved anybody. The law was given just to show someone how that they are in need of a Savior, that they are sinful, they fall short, they come up short, they fail, they can't meet the mark, they can't cross that finish line, because it was impossible for a person to live holy to the law without stumbling or falling in some of those areas. And so he is reassuring them that the law is not designed to save. It was designed just to show you your need of salvation. And so now Paul is going to kind of turn the corner just a little bit. He's getting past that. And now he's going to talk to you a little bit about living from day to day, daily life of a believer, and how that a person should live from day to day, and what should be evident in the life of a believer. And he also is going to discuss a problem that we have as believers, and that is that we have a war that rages within us. You have the spirit, and then you have the flesh, and they battle one another. And it's a battle that takes place in the life of a believer every day of a person's life. Now, just because that war rages inside of us doesn't mean that you are now lost. It just means that there is a spiritual realm inside of you and a fleshly realm inside of you, and they don't gel together. They are the opposite of the spectrum from one another, and they war against one another. In fact, that war that takes place is basically almost like reassurance that Christ does dwell inside of you. So Paul is making sure that these believers understand that justification comes from your faith in Christ, but even after you are saved, there is still a battle that rages. It doesn't mean that all that goes away, it rages even more. And Paul is going to discuss a little bit about the Christian life and the fruits of the Christian life. You know, after a person is saved and Jesus Christ dwells inside of them, there ought to be some fruit in the Christian's life that gives evidence to others that there's something different about that person. Paul's going to discuss that as well as we get into our lesson right here, beginning now in verse number 16. Paul says, "Then I say then." Right, so he's kind of turning the corner, and now he's going to go down a different path here in instructing these believers. Now you must realize he's not talking to lost people, he's talking to saved people here. He's talking about the life of a believer. So here's what he says in verse number 16. Walk in the Spirit. Alright, so Paul gives instruction here to all the believers. Here's what you should do daily. You need to walk in the Spirit. Now the word walk there it's not trying to tell somebody you put the, you know, one foot in front of the other and that's how you walk. Walk here is talking about your lifestyle. Living your life in the Spirit of God. Daily living with the Holy Spirit of God in control of your life. Now, that is an easy statement to make, but it's a hard life to live. Just because Paul says walk in the Spirit doesn't mean that you're not going to have a battle. He's going to go into depth here about the battle that rages inside the life of a believer. But the first thing Paul tells them here, after he turns the corner about, hey, the law never has saved you, salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, now he wants to talk to you about, after you're justified, here's how you live your life. And he says, walk in the Spirit. Just remember, the word walk there is talking about your lifestyle, how you live your life from day to day. And by the way, how we live our life from day to day is very important. We should be concerned about our life from day to day. We should keep in check our life from day to day. The principles that Paul gives here still applies to the day and age that we live in, and we need to look at what Paul gives here. So he tells them in verse number 16 to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, so you got the flesh and you've got the Spirit. Both dwells inside the believer. He's saying here, you need to walk in your life from day to day with the influence of the Holy Spirit of God upon your life. And what great advice to give here. You know, it's easy not to walk in the Spirit. You know, it's easy to walk in the flesh. But Paul says here, but if you'll walk in the Spirit of God, if you'll walk with the Holy Spirit of God in control of your life, influence on your life, where you are in tune with what the Spirit of God is telling you, you're going to have a lot of success in life because you won't be tempted as much to fulfill the lust of the flesh that dwells inside of you. Now, that lust of the flesh never goes away. It's always going to be there. That sin nature that we battle is always going to be there. So this battle is never going to end. It's going to be every day of your life. But you've got an option here. Paul says, here's your choices here. You can choose to walk in the Spirit of God. And if you walk in the Spirit of God, it's going to help you to overcome that flesh that's going to kind of pull at you and try to pull you in the wrong direction. It's going to actually help you to overcome that desires that you have or that lust that you have in your life. So that's the choice we have. It's either you can walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit, and you walk either one of those two every day of your life. But the choice is yours. You choose which one you want to walk in. So he tells them to walk in the Spirit in verse number 16. And here's one of the benefits of that. He says in verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It gives you the upper hand on the flesh. It gives you an advantage over the flesh. It helps you to be able to overcome the flesh. Here's the old statement often you'll hear. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. Now, the devil can influence you to do wrong. He can try to steer you down a wrong path. He can try to draw you into his devices, if you would. But the devil has never, ever, ever made a believer ever do anything. He can't. He can't make you do anything. He can tempt you. He can try to draw you, but he can't make you do anything. If you do wrong, it's because you chose to do wrong. And it's because you gave in to that lust of the flesh, Paul says here. So this is the battle that rages in the life of every believer. And by the way, when this war rages in the life of a believer, it doesn't mean that you've lost justification. It doesn't mean you've lost salvation. It just means that there is a war that rages inside of you. And Paul is trying to make sure they understand this is a natural thing. It's natural to have these desires. It's natural to have desires to do wrong. But then on the other hand, it's a natural also tendency to walk in the Spirit. And when your lifestyle is designed in such a way that you walk in the Spirit, he's talking about your lifestyle, it'll help you overcome the flesh that you battle every day of your life. For instance, if there is a believer that wants to succeed in the Christian life, that wants to do well in the Christian life, that wants to become closer to God, to be used of God, to be controlled by God, then you've got to design your lifestyle in such a way where it gives you the advantage over that flesh that's going to be drawing at you every day of your life. That flesh is going to be pulling every day of your life. I don't care how good of a Christian you are, your flesh is still going to try to pull you the wrong direction. So I've got to understand that it comes down to this simple principles here of designing my lifestyle, my walk, in such a way that it kind of gives me the upper hand over the flesh. It doesn't mean that I always succeed because I still have a sinful nature, but it far helps me to overcome those obstacles that the devil places in my life. As a believer, let's talk about basics here. As a believer, is it important that we pray? Yes or no? Yes or no? Anybody? All right. It is, right? You talk about basics. Is it wise to read your Bible daily? Yes, it is. Is it wise to go to church on Sunday? Yes, it is. Why? Because I'm trying to design my lifestyle, my walk, in such a way that it helps me to overcome the flesh that draws at me every day of my life. There's a reason why we ought to go to church. Now, there's a lot of reasons, but I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. One of the reasons why I should be in church when the doors open is because it's going to help me to overcome my flesh. For instance, it would not be wise for me as a Christian, I want to get closer to God, I want to be more used of God, I want to have a better relationship with God, so I'm going to go down to the local bar this week and get drunk, I'm going to use drugs this week, I'm going to listen to bad music, I'm going to watch filth on television, and we could go on and on and on. You know as well as I do, that is not going to help me to battle my flesh. If I choose that lifestyle, I promise you, I'm going to fall prey to my flesh. Are y'all with me this morning? So it's important that I structure my life and the life that I live, the walk that I have daily, in such a way that it shields me, if you would, from those harmful elements in this world that will pull me down the wrong path. Here's statements sometimes make. You send your kids to the Christian school and all that, you're just trying to shelter them. Yes, I am. I'm trying to shelter my children. You've probably heard it a million times. Well, here's a statement. Well, they're going to have to go out in the world sometime, and that is very true, but I think they'll be a little bit more wise when they go out into the world later in life than to stick them out with a bunch of wolves when they're just a little child. I'm trying to protect my children. Why do I bring my children to church? Because I think it will help them. I think it will try to help build them and structure them in a way to help them to if you would, to fight off the lust of the flesh and the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, and the lure of the devil. I'm trying my very best to design my life, my wife, my children, our relationships. Do we always succeed? No, we fail. Everybody has failures in life. But it doesn't mean that I don't try to structure my life in such a way to design our walk and our lifestyle to help fulfill the spirit and not the flesh in my life. So let's move on here. So we've got verse number 16, a very important verse, a very short verse, but very, very important, because everything that we read after this is all based on you choosing on which walk you're going to choose, either the walk of the flesh or the walk of the spirit. You choose which one you want. Okay, so here we go in verse number 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. All right, so they're not going to go together. You're not going to bind them together. They're not going to mix together. It's like trying to mix water and oil. They just don't mix. They always separate, and they always will be separate. And I don't care how hard these New Age movements are in our nation, where they're trying to combine the world and the spirit world, they just don't gel together. That's why a lot of churches today are designed to be like the world, and they're trying to bring the world into the church. They change the complete service, and they're trying to make blend the spirit world and the fleshly world together, and they'll never bind together. It's impossible to have both. I don't want to go to church on Sunday and it be like the world. I want to go to church on Sunday and it be the direct opposite of what the world has to offer. And Paul is saying here, and he's making sure you understand, they lust against, they fight one another. They don't like one another. They don't go together, and they never will. They fight among themselves. The spirit and the flesh are at war against one another. He goes on in verse number 17, and he says, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. All right? So you've got to realize there's two different lifestyles going on. There is a spiritual lifestyle and there is a fleshly lifestyle. You choose which one you want. Now, the flesh and the spirit are the two opposite principles which produce the Christian warfare that takes place. You hear a lot of preaching about this warfare, Christian warfare, spiritual warfare, and it's very, very true. And this spirit and the flesh, they're the opposites that are actually battling among themselves or against one another. Now, the flesh, you inherit that. I mean, you don't have to go out and gain it. You don't go out and receive it. You don't go out and it comes natural. You are born with it. Now, you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and you'll find that's where it began, and it's just handed down to you. You have it. That flesh, that lust that wars inside of you, it's not something you have to go out and practice doing. It comes natural to you. It comes natural to even a child. I mentioned the other week, you don't have to tell a child how to lie. He knows that. It came natural to him. Nobody had to teach him how to do that. So he's reinforcing something here. And, Christ dwells in the heart by faith, but the flesh, it lusts or it fights against the Spirit of God. I read a quote the other day, and I kind of jotted it down in a few notes. There was an author that made this mention. I don't know who the author is, said this. The Spirit is to the Christian what air is to the natural man. And that's very, very true. I mean, breathing air just comes natural. You don't even have to think about it. I mean, you don't have to sit down and concentrate and make sure your body breathes air. I mean, you don't even think about it. Your body automatically breathes air. And Paul is saying that your lifestyle should be so natural to walk in the Spirit that you don't even think anything about it. It comes natural to you. Friends, there's a lot of things spiritually that comes natural to you. I mean, today's Sunday. Today is the day you go to church. I mean, that comes natural to you. It's not a surprise to you that, hey, I got to go to church today. I mean, it's something you do naturally. You do it in habit. And some people say, well, if it gets to where it's just a habit, it's not even real anymore. I disagree with that. I think there's a lot of things in the Christian life that ought to be habit. Going to church on Sunday ought to be a habit. I mean, it ought to be natural to you. It ought to be just like breathing air. You just get up, it's Sunday, I go to church. I know that Sunday school is at 10 o'clock. The morning service is going to be at 11 o'clock. I know that the evening service night is going to be at 5 o'clock. I know all those things, and it just comes natural to be a part of those. But I got to move on. I'm going to get way behind here. Verse number 18, we'll move there. He says here, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he's talking to, I don't have a lot of time to go back and talk. He's been talking to you a little bit about the law, the purpose of the law, why there is the law. The law actually condemns the sinner. It's the law that shows you your fault. But let's move on here. Let's go to verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now Paul is going to give some examples of what it's like to live in the flesh. All right? This would be fruits of the life of one who walks in the flesh. Now, it's not an exhaustive list. It's not. He's not mentioning every sin possible here. If he listed every sin possible, then our Bibles would be a lot longer than it is right now. He's giving you some examples of someone who walks in the flesh and not the Spirit. Here are some of the results of that lifestyle, that walk, if you would. So here he goes in verse number 19. He says, here they are. He mentions adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. So you'll find here that he is starting to list a lot of examples of this lifestyle. You'll find here that he mentions also in verse number 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And so he's making a long list, and he's saying, you know, when you see this evident in a person, whether it be saved or lost, it is revealing their walk in the flesh. There's many listed here that we understand that are maybe common words for today. There are some listed here that are not common words that are used maybe in our day and age. But you'll find, of course, idolatry listed here. You find, adultery is where he begins in verse number 19. And by the way, adultery, when it, according to the law, was punished by death, according to Moses. You commit adultery according to the law of Moses, guess what? You're put to death. That was the punishment for adultery under the law of Moses. There were a few didn't like that law too much because there were some that were actually guilty of it, and according to the law, you're put to death. But some of them wanted to bypass that. And Paul said, you remember, hey, no, it's all the law. You remember how Paul stressed over and over that you don't pick and choose what parts of the law we abide by. The law is 100%. You got to keep all of it. And of course, they realized that was impossible. So he begins here in verse number 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now, I'll stop right here, and I'm not going to elaborate because of a mixed crowd right here, but you'll find in our society there's a big-time problem with these right here. It's the flesh, the appetite of the flesh, and it's very prevalent in our day and age. What is that? It's the fruits of a lifestyle. It is the result of a lifestyle that people live. It is revealing to you what path they chose. They chose the path of the flesh, and these are just some of the fruits that you'll notice and see in somebody that travels down this path. Now, Paul is explaining here the lifestyle of someone who is giving in to that fleshly appetite, that lust of the flesh, and here's some of the results of how you'll know they're traveling down that path, and he's revealing here some of their works or fruits that will be evident in their life. He mentions here also in verse number 20, idolatry. Now, you must understand, I had to go back and do a word search here to make sure I was right on this here with idolatry. You hear a lot of people talk about idolatry, and you think about, that's those people over in Africa that have those big poles with those faces carved on it, and they bow down to that. No, idolatry, I went back and ran a word search on this. Idolatry is whatever we value most is our God. So you got to be careful what is most important in your life. It can become idolatry. A car can be idolatry. A home can be idolatry. A job can be idolatry. It's just anything that becomes most important in your life. And when something becomes more important than God in your life, then it becomes idolatry in your life. You'll find also in verse number 20, idolatry, witchcraft. is an interesting word. Now, I don't have a lot of time now to develop this word here, but it's an interesting word to research and so forth. And in fact, you'll find, I may even go back to my book here and see if I can see what they classify as witchcraft here. In my lesson book, the author of the book here writes, witchcraft, this word means the use of administering of drugs. It's a drug addict. It's someone who, and you have to go back and research the history of witchcraft. A lot of drugs were involved in that and so forth. You'll find it very interesting. We don't have a lot of time. That's a lesson in itself, just studying the word witchcraft and what was involved there and so forth. When you think of witchcraft, you think about some real creepy old woman with a black pointed hat flying around on a broom. That is not what we're finding here in God's Word. Witchcraft is very, very real. It's still prevalent in the day and age that we live in. What is that? It's just revealing the fruits of someone who's traveling down the path of the flesh and fulfilling that lust that the flesh has. I've been very, very blessed in life. I was raised in a good Christian home. I have no idea what drugs are about. And I'm so thankful this morning that even in my own family, not just us, but even extended family, as far as I know, no one in our family has ever had problems with drugs. But there are probably people here in this room that maybe you personally have had problems with drugs, or maybe a family member, or you know, some relative or a good friend that you know of that's maybe struggled with that. But boy, it's amazing. You turn on the news nowadays. I've even thought to myself, you take the problem with meth, and now meth is kind of taking a backseat to a new drug that's a lot cheaper, but how do you even come up with something like that? I mean, how do you decide that you're going to take ammonia, anhydrous ammonia, and put some battery acid with it and put some Drano inside of it, and somehow there's a chemical reaction, and then you take it, and I don't know if you eat it, smoke it, drink it, or whatever you do with it, but I mean, how does a person even come up with something like that? I'm telling you this morning, it is the mind of the devil himself that can brew up such an addictive drug and so forth. And how is it that people, I mean, and then on the other hand, I've thought to myself, you know, it's one thing for somebody to come up with this idea, and from what I've read, it came from a scientist. But anyway, even if a scientist told me about this drug, my next question would be, why in the world would I put that in my body? Let me tell you why people do it. Lust of the flesh. It's the results. It's the fruit. It's the outward acknowledgement that there is a path that this individual is traveling down that they've chosen, and it is the lust of the flesh. That's why people do these things. And I will make this statement as well. I do not believe that there are drugs that are impossible to overcome. Now, there was an article on the news the other day about these new drugs. Once you take them, you're addicted for life. I do not believe that. I'm not saying it's easy to overcome, but you're not going to tell me that God's not big enough to help you overcome an addiction. I believe God can help somebody overcome anything in life, and I don't care what any doctor or scientist or intelligent person tells me, they're not smarter than God. But it goes on. I mean, Paul's got a list here. He's just saying, hey, this flesh, the works of the flesh, in verse number 19, he's giving you the results, the outcome of living the lifestyle of just letting the flesh rule them. Their life is guided by the flesh. Their lifestyle and what they do from day to day is all chosen by the flesh. They're fulfilling that lust, and they are succumbing, I guess, to the lust of the flesh. And here's some of the fruits of that. Idolatry in verse number 20, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. He goes on in verse number 21, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some will say, well, right there it tells you, if you do all those, you're not ever going to get to go to heaven. You're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. That is not what Paul is saying here. This verse 21, does not indicate the loss of justification, and that's what Paul is discussing here. Engaging, what Paul is saying here, when you engage in a lifestyle, in a walk where you're allowing the flesh to control you, it indicates that one has not allowed God to be in control of their life. Because he's going to switch gears and talk to you about the lifestyle when God's in control. Now, let's go back here just a little bit. Now, if we believe that if you commit one of these sins right here, that you're going to die and go to hell, and there's no hope for you, there's no justification available for you, don't you think we would all struggle with even being able to not even maybe seduce to some of these? For instance, you go to verse number 20, idolatry, we all maybe struggle a little bit there in some areas of life or in times past. Witchcraft, we may say, I've never had a problem with that. But that next one right there is a hard one. Hatred. I don't know of anybody in this room that's not ever had a time in their life where hatred has overcome them. You say, have you ever hated somebody? I'm going to be honest with you. Yes. I think everybody probably at some point in life has enemies. We as adults, we don't use that word very much, but if you're around young people very long, you'll hear them sometimes say, I hate so-and-so. Let me tell you why they make a statement like that. It comes natural. It's natural for the flesh to hate others. Why do we hate? Because we have problems with envy. We have a problem with jealousy in life. And when envy and jealousy get controlled, then it leads to hatred. You go back through a lot of these lists, and now it's not an exhaustive list. Paul's not saying these are the only sins that you can commit here. I mean, there's a lot of sins that we can commit that's not listed here. But what Paul is trying to say here is when you commit these, when it's evident, when these are the fruits of an individual, what does it tell us? It tells us they chose the path of the flesh. What does that tell us? It tells us that they are not controlled by the Spirit of God, that they're not walking in the Spirit of God, and that God is not in control of their life. So any of these, when these are the fruits of us, or if these are evident in our life, what does that tell us? It tells us that we are failing in our walk with God, because the Spirit of God is not in control. It's obvious that when these are the fruits of a person's life, that it is the flesh that is producing the results that we find here, that Paul lists some of them. So we've got to move on here. Verse 22, but, now he's going to switch and go a different direction. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, all right, so now he's going to tell you, here's the results of a person that chose to walk or live that lifestyle of the Spirit of God. Now what does that mean? It means that they are living life where the Spirit of God is controlling them, directing them, and has free reign in their life. It is a conscious decision that a believer makes that allows God to have control of one's life. I've had people say, I don't like it when you say you allow God to have control. You know, let me say this. God does not force himself upon you. God does not make you go to church this morning. God didn't take a 2x4 and beat you over the head this morning and say, you're going to go to church this morning whether you want to or not. You made a choice of whether you came this morning or not. God doesn't force himself on you. It's the old saying, God didn't make robots. God gave us a free choice in all that we do. We choose whether or not we love God, and we choose whether or not we walk in the Spirit. So Paul is saying, here's some evidence that a person is walking in the Spirit of God, where they actually chose to live this lifestyle where the Spirit of God is controlling their life. Now, I will say this, it all goes back, and the key it hinges on verse 16. You choose whether you walk and live that lifestyle. I just believe this morning that if I want to produce the fruits of the Spirit that we're going to find here, I think a good way to start off my week is getting up and go to church on Sunday. Does it guarantee me success for the week? No, it doesn't guarantee me, but I promise you, it sure can hurt. I honestly believe that I can get more from God being in this place this morning than staying at home watching the news this morning. Now, I did watch just, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes of the news this morning to see what was going on in the world. And I kind of like to keep up with what's going on in the world. And I'll probably maybe watch some a little bit tonight. But I got to be careful. I mentioned last week, I got to be careful that I don't live too much around the news of the day or I'll be a very depressed person. I think coming to church this morning is going to be more uplifting than any news channel can be this morning. I think I get more from God's Word by being here this morning. I think I can learn more about God by being here this morning. I think that it helps build my spiritual life by being here this morning. It helps me, I'm going to be honest, to fulfill verse 16 in walking in the Spirit. Does it mean that if I miss this morning that God's going to kill me? No, to be honest with you, I think I could probably miss this morning, and I don't really have a fear that maybe God would kill me today. I'm not saying something couldn't happen and it'd be an act of God. I'm not saying God couldn't do that. But I don't know that I live in fear and thinking if I don't go to church this morning that I'll be killed by God. But I do believe that coming to church this morning is going to help me fulfill verse 16 in walking a lifestyle in the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you this morning? So Paul says, well, here's some of the fruit. Here's evidence, or some of the evidence, that a person is walking in the Spirit of God. He says in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I read these, and so it's telling me, now here's a little bit, and that's not an exhaustive list by any means. Paul is just saying, here's some things you'll see in a person that's walking in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to stop right here and say this. We first see some of the fruits of the flesh, and now we see that Paul gives you some of the fruits that he sees in the life of a person that is living and walking in the Spirit of God. Two different lifestyles. Now, when I read the Spirit of the flesh, I read down through there, and automatically our flesh will say, well, I'm doing pretty good here about this. I don't have idolatry and witchcraft. I haven't committed adultery or fornication and hatred. I don't hate anybody this morning. Variance and emulations and wrath and strife and seditions and heresy. I don't have a problem with all that. We feel pretty good. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I read the fruits of the Spirit, I don't feel too good. See, I felt pretty good starting off. But now I get down to the fruits of the Spirit, and here's the big question for us. Are these fruits, are they evident in our life? Is love evident in our life? He goes on here. Let's look at verse 22 again. These words, are they fruits that are very evident? I mean, if Paul were to look at your life, would Paul see these elements in your life? And if they do show forth in your life, it reveals unto Paul, who's looking on the outside. He's looking on your lifestyle, and that's what he's talking about. He's talking about your daily lifestyle. The way you live your life, do these seem evident in your life? Is love evident in our life? What about joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith? Are all of these evident in our life? And I'm going to be honest with you, it's just me this morning. They're not always evident in my life. Sometimes I find it hard to love people. Sometimes I find it hard to have joy because I allow my flesh to be consumed with all the negative things in life. And I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes I'm not as joyful as I should be. There's not another group of people on this earth that ought to have more joy than a believer. But yet I find myself sometimes discouraged and depressed and upset. I'll be honest with you, I passed a gas station yesterday. It makes me mad. Gas went up 10 cents yesterday. And why? And I'm asking myself, why? I even researched last week a little bit. We buy a lot of propane and trying to decide a little bit about, we usually book gas in advance. I buy so many gallons of gas prior to the winter time, and I'm trying to decide, do I need to buy now or later? So I go on the internet trying to research the price of oil and price of gasoline. Do you know why the price of gas is as high as it is? Do you know why? There is no reason. You know why? Just because they can't. Some would say greed. Filthy, rich people wanting more. I read that, and it's hard for me to have joy. It's hard to walk away from the gas pump and say, praise God, gas went up 10 cents. Now, maybe you're different. Maybe you can rejoice. And to be honest with you, I'm wrong here. I should be able to rejoice. I don't care if it's $10 a gallon. Doesn't matter if gas is $10 a gallon or $2 a gallon. God's still in control. I'm still His child. I'm still on my way to heaven. I ought to be able to walk away from pumping gas and praising God for the day. But I'm just revealing sometimes our flesh doesn't always react that way. Am I right? It's hard to have joy when you go to the doctor and find out it's not very good results. It's not joy when you find out you're getting older and you can't do what you used to be able to do. And sometimes my mind will dwell on the negative things of life and squelch or squash out all the joy in a person's life. He goes on, he talks about love, and he talks about joy. What about peace? What about long-suffering that we find here? What about gentleness? What about goodness? I mean, when was the last time we did some good things? Faith. What about meekness? Sometimes I find myself a far cry from being meek. Temperance we find here. Against such, there is no law. So we find here that Paul switches gears, and now he's talking about the very obvious things that we should find in the life of a believer that is walking in the Spirit of God. Then he talked about the works of the flesh and that lifestyle and the results that you're going to find in that lifestyle. And when you find the works of the flesh that Paul gives here, and he gives a lot of different examples here, not everything in life, but you know, the sinful behavior that we find here, what does it do? It's not that you commit one of those sins, you're going to die and go to hell. Paul is saying here, as a believer, when you commit these sinful lusts of the flesh, and when you engage in that type of behavior and that type of walk and lifestyle, it's going to cost the believer much joy in his life. If you walk in the flesh, you're not going to have the examples in verse 22. If you walk in adultery and fornication and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and strife and seditions and heresies and envyings and murders and drunkenness, and I mean, when you live that kind of a lifestyle, you're not going to have the joy of God and the joy and the peace and the love and the long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith. There are two different spectrums of the lifestyle. You can't have both at the same time. As a believer, you're not going to be able to walk out of this church today and go live a life this week of drunkenness and have the peace of God in your life. You're not going to have meekness in your life. And you're not going to have, you can't have the results of both. You cannot walk in the flesh and expect to have the results that you find in verse 22. Verse 22 is the result of only living a life controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit of God is in control and guiding and leading in your life, that's what you find as a result in verse 22. So it's pretty simple. Paul says there's two different lifestyles. You choose which one you're going to follow and which path you're going to take here. And he says, I'm going to give you some of the results of the lust of the flesh. And he says, here's going to be just some of the results that you're going to find in that kind of a lifestyle. When you walk in that kind of a lifestyle, here's going to be some of the results. Here's what you can expect. Now, if you choose to walk in the Spirit and you let the Spirit of God control you and guide you and lead you, you're going to find here's going to be some of the results of that lifestyle. So you choose what kind of results you want by the lifestyle you live from day to day. And then you're going to find that in verse 22, verse 23, that we have these fruits of the Spirit here. They're going to be found in the life of a believer who chooses to follow or to walk with the Holy Spirit of God in control of that person's life. Important that we understand that the Holy Spirit of God needs to be in control of our life. It's not an easy life to live. It's something you got to work at. It's something that you got to be conscious of. It's something that you got to understand of allowing the Spirit of God to control us. Now, when you walk in the Spirit of God, and you're going to find the results of that lifestyle in verse number 22 and verse 23. Those are some of the fruits of that lifestyle. You're going to find that they're going to be evident in your life.
Now, if you choose to walk in that life, you're going to find yourself a lot, it's going to be a lot easier to overcome the works of the flesh if you follow the Spirit of God in your life. So he gives us that as well. And then he finishes out in verse number 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. He goes on in verse number 25 and says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So he's given you a little bit of the examples of two different lifestyles that you choose which one you are going to live. You're either going to live the life according to the Spirit of God controlling, or you're going to live the lust of the flesh, and you'll find some of the results here that Paul lists for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We do pray for our service this morning, for your blessings upon the message, and then the message even this evening, for your blessings upon all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.